What is going on, Kicking Out Podcast Nation? It is Sunday night. It's November 10th, 2024. Brand new episode of the Kicking Out Podcast is streaming live on the Kicking Out Podcast YouTube channel, on our Facebook page, and on our Twitch channel. Hit that like button, hit that follow button, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell if you're on YouTube so you don't miss the latest going on with the Kicking Out Podcast. I'm Tanner Lee, the KOP Predictions Champion for 406 days and counting. Co-host Paul Zartman is in the house, and we don't know where our other co-host, Austin Shepherd, a.k.a. Shep, is at. We haven't heard from him. So
No.
He could be making a running, though. He could be making a run.
He could. I think it's later this month that he's got the golf outing. So,
yes. Oh, well, look at this. Look at this.
There he is.
Look at this. So we said he might be making a running, and he makes a running. Impeccable timing. And he's struggling with his headphones.
What else is new? It's Shep.
He's still green, everybody.
Really?
Shep, what's up?
What's up? Shep?
Oh, boy. What a day.
Uh-huh.
We had a long day today.
What a day is right. Yeah. We did a long day today. It's been a long week.
I haven't watched an ounce of football today, but what a long day.
You know, we are not talking about professional football tonight. Nope.
Why?
Nope.
Hey, Paul, can you fill me in?
Mm-mm. The Browns are 2-7 on the season. Mm. So, you know, maybe when they get their new stadium, I think next year or in a couple of years when, you know, it's outside of Cleveland, maybe they'll actually have a winning record.
That's okay. Indianapolis sucks anyway. So.
Well, yeah, like I said, we're not talking about pro football tonight. So,
That's all I had to say about it. It's public record now that the Browns are moving out of Cleveland to the suburbs or some weird little rinky-dink town, and the debate is still if they will still be called the Cleveland Browns or not, or if they'll get the suburbs name. And that's that. Maybe they'll win then, because the Ravens won when they moved from Cleveland to Baltimore. So maybe that'll be the same thing here.
What? So your team lost, Paul. My team lost. Why is Tanner so bitter?
I don't think my team actually played today. I think they play tomorrow.
Your team has a bye, I think. I think your team's off.
I don't know. I don't follow Cleveland enough because I know it's going to be a losing record. So you ask me how the season is. They got at least 2 wins. That's a plus in my book.
Why are you so bitter, Tanner?
We're not talking about it. I am not talking about it tonight.
You're bitter. You're
yes, little, I am bitter. I almost didn't join tonight because of it.
Yeah, so. that was I just saw the final score and I can only imagine what happened to get to that final score. So
all right. My one thing, Paul, just to key you in, since you didn't know, 35-yard game winning field goal attempt blocked.
Ah.
Yep.
Oh, so the team's better than you. I mean, if you can block a field goal, you don't deserve to win, right? Is that too much? Sorry, that was a little too much. Hey,
the Hurt City kids behind me.
Hey, Paul, what's a fancy insignia on your hat? I can't.
Yeah,
I can't
what is on your hat?
Yeah, what is that?
It's Pikachu.
Oh, well, now I see it. Okay,
it's a Pokemon. It's a Pikachu.
I can see it now.
Oh, yeah. Bless you, Gesundheit.
Yeah. And then the hoodie's the Echo.
Yeah. Familiar with that.
I figured I'd explain that too.
What's your lower third under your name?
Ripcord Quad?
Yep.
That was a little thing that you sent to us in the group.
I did. Or
one of you two did.
Not me. Did.
About the Outrunners.
Oh.
Oh, that was me. Okay. I got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That was like, what's your Outrunner's name with your
yes.
first name? Okay. All right.
Yeah. First initial. Your first name and first initial of your last name, and I got this, and I told you I may just use it Sunday on the pod, and I did.
I don't think Shep ever responded.
He did not.
Now I gotta find it now.
My name was fucking fly. I'm gonna get.
But that's an interesting name. Making his way to the ring, fucking fly.
You know, I thought I had all the flies. I had a fly issue out here, and I thought I had them all. But this one just decided to show.
Good news, Tanner. We made it 6 minutes before the F bomb got dropped by Shep.
And it was
Take Soulsworth was Shep's name. Take Soulsworth.
Yeah, Tank. Yeah, Tank Soulsworth.
Find the Cyclone Axe.
Well, you know what? I might get that tattooed across the back of my shoulder blade. Tank Soulsworth. What a legend.
So here's the one that Shep did not respond to. What's your Nitro match? So use your day / month of your birthday. So Shep, what's your birthday again?
September 30th.
September 30th. So Sid Vicious in a street fight.
Ooh.
I think you can take him because he's dead.
Oh. Oh yeah. That or I just bring
the only way.
And Paul's was Rey Mysterio in a tables
match. Yeah, all I got to do is catch the guy, and I can throw him. I mean, I'm like two of him, so.
Mine was Lex Luger in a submission.
Yeah,
that's not even fair. That's not even fair. You pick a guy that has ALS in a submission match.
Steffi got Bret Hart in street fight. So we all got people that. Well, no, Paul got an active wrestler, but. That's fast, too.
He's Bret Hart. He's a little concussed.
Yeah.
I'll ask Dom to help me out.
There you go.
Dirty Dom.
Dirty Dom and Dirty Dom. The Judgment Day.
There you go. Well, why don't we get this podcast underway, shall we?
Oh, I thought we did that, you know, 7 minutes.
Well, we did. 8 minutes ago. We did, but I mean, I've been waiting for you to ask some questions. So.
Oh, hey, Shep, what are we drinking tonight?
Hey-o, let's go!
As he drinks, he doesn't tell us what he's drinking. he takes a drink instead.
So, listen, we had a little golf tournament today.
It's that victory juice.
Oh, man, it's so good. I'm going to take another one. Here we go. Listen. Shh.
Sound clip.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
We're drinking the normal, the OG cherry bubbly and a little bit of Kettle One. Still pissed at Kettle One that they won't give us any sponsorship. We can't tag them.
No, can't do anything.
Bunch of stupid Frenchies. Fucking Frenches. Anyways.
Kettle One's been your go-to this week.
For the last 10 years. actually, I thought about making I've perfected the Bloody Mary, man. I have perfected it. And I was going to make one tonight. And then by the time I got the kids to bed and ran out here and hooked the computer up, I looked. It was like 8:28. I'm like, frick, I can't make one. So I've had a couple today, and so I just went with the original OG and stayed with the old vodka and bubbly, man. And you know what? We're probably gonna have one or two more tonight, too.
Yeah.
You're gonna laugh. I'm old, okay? I'm in my 40s. It's been a long time since I stayed up past 1 o'clock in the morning and made a drink, right?
Yeah.
My dumbass was so how do you want to say? Invested Tuesday night. Yeah. I damn near drank a bottle of Kettle. And at 1:47 a.m., I poured a victory kettle. I went to work the next morning, and I walked in. Oh, actually, I walked into my little local coffee shop that I get my coffee every morning. And I looked at her name's Angie. She's like, "You okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, a little fuzzy. Not gonna lie, a little fuzzy." She goes, "Do you need a sandwich?" I go, "Yeah, I do need a sandwich. I need a breakfast sandwich." I go, "Can I order something that's not a breakfast sandwich? Because they make a great club sandwich for lunch that I normally get." He's like, "I think I need that." She goes, "Yeah, I'll make you that." So I got a club sandwich at 7:45 a.m. on a Wednesday. Went into work, and everybody walked in my office. They're like, "What are you doing? You're eating a fucking lunch sandwich." Like, I'm like, "Yeah. I probably would register in the old breathalyzer right now." And I'm sitting at work, and it's like one of my prouder moments. But I was hooked Tuesday night. And I think I drank a bottle of vodka. And like I said, I've never poured a drink that late in the morning, I don't think. 1:47, I poured one more vodka. And I've kept it going all week, actually. There you go. Steffi, I didn't watch the race today. I didn't have a reason to watch the race today because my boy's gone. So I have no idea. It probably still on. It's in out in Phoenix, right? So give me an update, Steffi. I appreciate it.
What's going on, Stephen Chambers?
Hopefully the Chevrolet wins. How's it going?
Hey, Stephen. Old S. Joey went. Fuck Joey. What a douchebag. Of all people. Sorry.
It's gonna be one of those nights, Paul.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. She just had to throw that out there. Like,
yeah, well, she, to her credit, she tried to ask earlier, but you were talking about your drink. I didn't want to know.
How does he sit? I don't understand. When you sit in a race car, those guys are like, you know, they're right up on the steering wheel. How the hell does his nose fit in that fucking helmet? He's got the biggest schnoz. Like, it's bigger than Hunter's. It's bigger than Hunter's.
Custom made.
That's saying something.
Triple H has a schnoz, man. But then you look at Joey Logano, and on top of him being a douche nozzle, he's got a schnoz.
Great word. Well, Paul was getting all researched up tonight for the show. So, Paul, you got any news items you want to talk about before we get into Dynamite and Collision?
Well, I'm going to ask you what you're watching first.
Oh, I am watching Full Gear 2021. That's what I had on last week. For some reason, it didn't pick up where I left off last week. So I just grabbed the remote a few minutes ago and fast-forwarded about midway through the show. So it looks like we got the Bucks behind me with then Jungle Boy and then Luchasaurus.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. And no, we got Adam Cole and Christian Cage.
Baby.
Trios match.
I've got this past Wednesday's Dynamite on behind me.
I got Sunday Night Football, which I think is Lions and Texans.
Yes, you are right.
Texans got some fancy helmets tonight.
Yeah, they got some alternates on tonight. Yeah.
I wouldn't call it news, but good old JR wants your boy to get into the ring in AEW.
You talking to me or Shep?
Tanner.
Who's my boy now this time?
Goldberg.
That's not happening, and thank God. He's wrestling one more match next year, WWE, and it's a retirement match. So we don't have to worry about that. I missed on that prediction a year ago. I thought it was going to happen. Didn't happen. I'm glad, looking back, it didn't happen.
So they announced it for WWE?
They haven't announced who he's going to. He was at the Georgia game last week. It was on the SEC Network in the morning. He was a guest. He said he's wrestling one more time for WWE in 2025, and that's his retirement match. Speculation, it'll be Gunther. Don't know when. Now the question is, will he do the right thing and let Gunther go over?
No.
He's too selfish. He's too arrogant. He's got he's got small dick syndrome. No. He ain't gonna do that.
No. No.
He's the type of guy that thinks he should go out on top.
Yeah, and, I know.
I know we're an AEW podcast, but WWE is doing the one thing that we said they were going to do, and we really hoped they would never do it. They've announced the Women's United States Championship.
I did see that. I did see that.
A lot of fans are happy about that.
Okay, you know, I get they want a mid-card title, but the same people who are applauding them for doing that are the same people who criticized Tony Khan in AEW for having a women's mid-card title.
Because they criticized Tony Khan in AEW for everything.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on here, Paul. Let me play right down the middle, because you know me. I'm right down the middle.
Hey, sure you are.
Right down the middle.
Right down the middle. I think they harp on AEW because we have too many mid-card titles.
Okay. The one that bugs me in AEW is the Continental.
Yes.
That's just worthless.
So I believe if you have a United States Championship for the women in WWE, I think it'll be okay. They have a big enough roster. I think it's a belt that can be defended on WWE television, both shows, and NXT. NXT Correct. Is absolutely on fire right now.
Beat AEW in the ratings this week.
Yeah,
no, we don't care about ratings.
I know. I'm just saying. Like, I think it'll work. They have a big enough roster. It works as long as that belt goes, you know, between shows, which I think it will be.
Yeah. I got a feeling, like Steven said, Raw's gonna counter with a women's IC title soon.
Yeah, you're feeling that might be gas, but. I think the girl right off the bat that you should put this belt on is Chelsea Green.
Yeah. I agree with you 100% there.
Not that she's not a main carder, you know, but I think she has been there from day one and proved herself on the indies, came, gone. I think she'd be perfect for it.
Yeah, Steven brings up a good point. NXT women's division is stacked.
Absolutely.
There's so many talents under the age of 30 in NXT would make your head spin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It makes Paul look old.
And, you know, they got this new developmental program that they're working on.
WWE ID.
Yeah.
They signed a guy from GCW, and they signed a guy from IWC, which is help me out, Tanner. Oh,
what was IWC? Yeah, no, I saw it too, but
I got all you. I know is they need to go hit up OVW, because a couple of young talents have signed there that
International Wrestling Cartel.
International Wrestling Cartel. Thank you. Yeah, that is it. So you had a GCW, the first one that they announced, which I still think Brett Lauderdale and Stephanie McMahon have a relationship.
That's been rumored for years.
Well, it's been rumored for years, but when's the last time you saw an AEW talent on a GCW show? Jack Cartwheel, that was another one. Yeah, thank you.
There's the GCW talent, Marcus Mathers.
Yeah, well, Jack Cartwheel, he kind of bounces around as well. I really think there's something there.
This program is great for WWE. It's bad for the wrestling industry as a whole.
Yes.
Well, because you think they're gonna
well, they can control now.
They're gonna control the indies.
Yeah, they can control because these are their talents now. They can control where they work. Now, they said so far, like, if AEW needs them for, like, not necessarily like Dynamite or Collision, but for like an extra match, you know, for a Dark, if Dark becomes a thing, that they would probably let them do that. I don't believe that for one bit.
No, neither do I.
Like, there's certain promotions they will let them. And of course, they got these academies and things that are feeding into them. So, yeah, I don't know, something to keep an eye on. It's interesting. But like I said, it's good for WWE. I mean, it's something they've wanted to do for a long time. And before we get into things, I did have a – I mean, this is a very broad question. But so I think we can all agree, I mean, while AEW is our favorite promotion to watch and talk about, that's why we do this podcast every week, WWE is definitely the hot commodity in town right now, especially to the casual viewer, right? Yeah. What can AEW do, if anything, to get hot again?
Me personally,
I think they've done some good things this year. Don't get me wrong. But they're definitely struggling with attendance ratings, even though the ratings aren't the biggest thing, especially since they got that new TV deal anyways. Ratings are struggling. I mean.
Yeah, but the problem with ratings become you got guys like Bully Ray and Uncle Dave that'll say, you know, they do matter and this is bad for AEW. So then people start backing away from it a little bit because they follow those guys religiously and they're saying this is a bad product. Don't go watch it. So now they're not going to watch it. But
Dave tries to spin everything in AEW's favor, actually.
Well, okay.
Bischoff and Bully Ray are two that not so much.
Yeah, well, Uncle Dave said it is concerning that the attendance and the ratings are so low.
I mean, they're trying different things. We saw this was also a promotion to get people to go out and vote for the last week or so. They did a 40% off discount code on a lot of the upcoming shows. I don't know. I don't know what they can do to get the attendance up per se.
Well, when you look at a guy like Bully Ray, I respect him. Great on Busted Open. But it's be honest, he's on the payroll of WWE right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're on the payroll, what are you going to lean towards? What are you going to influence your listeners to like? Okay. So you can take that away. You can take that out of there. But I say the big thing that WWE has going right now is they have just two of the biggest storylines that they have worked on for over a year. And we've always talked about the lack of storylines in AEW and Tony Khan being too quick to flip the match, to flip the switch, I should say, to have that match. You know, well, we just saw Swerve and Shelton Benjamin, and there was no build. Come on, guys. Like, look, as much as we enjoy AEW and love the alternative product, you mean to tell me that Shelton Benjamin and Swerve Strickland didn't deserve a 3 or 4 week build? Come on.
Well,
so I think that's what's hurting AEW right now in the long run. Yes, we get the pay-per-view quality matches every Wednesday.
Yeah.
Not denying that. And sometimes on Saturdays, right?
Yep.
And
their pay-per-views do deliver. We're not saying that. But
yeah, but right now, you're so deep in this Bloodline storyline, like if you see a advertisement of the Bloodline gonna talk on Friday night, shit, you're gonna tune in, watch that, and then probably turn it. That's what I do, at least. I follow that, and we just don't have that right now. And I know they're trying to do it with Mox and the Death Riders, and you know we're maybe 3-4 weeks, a month into it, but we got a long way to go. Long way to go.
Mm-hmm. Steven Chambers brings up a good point. AEW needs to work on promoting their shows, which I have liked. They're starting to finally give us like the card a week in advance again, like they used to. Because I never understood why they stopped doing that. He said, really smart. And Dynamite and Collision, small arenas, and pay-per-views, big arenas. I think they could run some smaller venues as well. Because, I mean, even these venues they're running, like the venue they're running down in our area in Fishers, Indiana next month, it can seat up to, I think, 7 to 7,500 people, but they're only setting it up for like 3,500.
Yeah.
And they're not even close to selling that out right now. So
no, they're not. Yeah. And, you know, as we're talking storylines, I agree. They need to focus on storylines and maybe not so many of them, And one thing Tony really needs to do, and this is just me personally, stop being everybody's friend.
Yeah.
Because, you know, somebody gets butt hurt, they go to Tony Khan, and you could be 6 weeks deep into a storyline, and all of a sudden it just stops because one of the two people in that storyline got butt hurt over something the other one did or said, so they kill the storyline. We've seen that a couple times, and that's not good because you get these people who are tuning in, they get super excited even for a 3 or 4 week build on a storyline, and then it just stops because wrestler A got butt hurt over what wrestler B said, and Tony Khan suspended wrestler A or whatever, and it never comes back.
And we know they can do it. We've seen it. Swerve Hangman, Mariah May, Tony Storm. We can see, you know, we've seen these long-term stories play out and be really good. They just don't do them enough.
Yeah, and we get too many stories going at the same time sometimes.
Yep.
You've got several main event-style storylines running. Nobody knows where to focus, whereas over in WWE, you've got the Bloodline angle and maybe one or two other big storylines, and that's it.
Yes, correct. So, I mean, look at the Full Gear card right now. I mean, Orange against Moxley. Okay, that's part of his Death Riders storyline, which I'm glad they're rolling with that name, by the way, instead of BCC. So I get that. We got MJF versus Adam Cole, and, well, it's not official yet, but it's probably going to be MJF, Adam Cole, and Roderick Strong, probably. Yeah. I get what they're trying to do there, but it's been a weird build. A weird way to do it because, and I know Cole got injured, screwed everything up, but it's kind of weird. We got Daniel Garcia and Jack Perry. Quick build, but I know they kind of had to wait for Garcia to resign. We're probably getting Ospreay and Fletcher. At least there's been a build there since WrestleDream. We're going to get a 4-way tag match. There's no build there besides the tournament. QT Marshall and Big Boom AJ, whatever his name is, AJ Big Boom, the Costco guys. I mean, there's been it's a pre-show match, but there has been build there on social
media. Statlander Mercedes.
Yep, there's that one's had some build.
Yeah.
And then Steven saying Mariah versus Mina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there has been some build, but nothing like in Swerve and Bobby. Well, of course, Bobby just showed up to the company. Hopefully this is the first of many matches for those two. Hopefully that's a long-term story. Hopefully.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It's interesting. Cause I think AEW's close. I mean, they're doing some really good things, but there's obviously things that aren't clicking with the casual person too. And maybe a lot of casual people dipped out when Punk dipped out.
Or Cody, or...
Well, Cody, I think, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, I think if Tony Khan could do it all over again, I mean, who knows if Cody ultimately re-signs, but Tony uses that option year of 2022. Because he had that. He could have played that card, and Cody would have been part of AEW for one more year. Because really, ever since he went to WWE, they've become really, really hot.
Yeah. So. And that's another thing that I think AEW needs to stop doing that they were really good about in the beginning. They're letting things slip through the cracks to the sources. Because, you know, like, the headline in tonight is Malakai Black done in AEW. That's been a topic that's been talked about for over a year now.
We've talked about that 10 times on this show.
Yep.
Yeah. But because we now know when his contract's up or, you know, close to when it's up. Whereas when AEW started, you didn't know who had signed with AEW, who was leaving AEW. It was always a surprise. It was, you know, Tony Khan set to make this big announcement, and it was big announcements. Now it's like Tony Khan's got a big announcement. Yes, next week, right here on Dynamite, Mercedes Moné will take on Dr. Britt Baker. That's not a huge announcement. but we play it up that it's this huge announcement. And so the casual viewer who's hoping maybe some big name's coming or something big's going to happen gets let down. And then they're like, well, screw it. I don't need to watch if this is a big announcement.
Yeah. I just don't think AEW's cool right now in the eyes right. of a lot of people out there. And I don't know how they get that cool yeah. factor out. Cause they definitely had it 19, 20, 21, maybe even 22, but I feel like ever since Brawl Out of 2022, they lost a little bit of that and they've been fighting to get it back. But like I said, I think they've done some good things in 2024. And I like the way a lot of things are heading for 2025, but I think they can do a lot of things better at the same time.
And I will say one more thing that they can do. Stop relying on former WWE guys. We're leaning so much on Chris Jericho and Christian and Copeland when he was there. And, you know, we leaned heavy on Punk. You get a big name in and then you lean heavy on them and you overlook these young stars that you promised were going to get the spotlight.
Hold on. Your world champion right now is a WWE star.
Yeah.
You don't want to bury him right now. You want
to. No. But what I'm saying is they're not leaning on him. Like, we're trying to get an ROH TV deal, so we're going to put the belt on Jericho. We're going to introduce this ripoff Money in the Bank thing, so we're going to give it to Christian.
Christian's done some of the best work of his career in AEW, though.
True. I will give him that. You know, he's not coming out there anymore for the peeps or one more match or anything like that. This is the Christian that we should have seen years ago. But these people are tuning in, and if you're a casual viewer and you flip on and, oh, Christian Cage is in the ring. Oh, Jericho's in the ring every single week. Moxley's not in the ring every single week. He's cutting little promos. He might come out and beat somebody up, you know, but it's quick stuff with him. If you want to do that with Jericho, with Christian, with anybody else, that's fine. FTR even. Have it quick little bits, you know. We got really good at having more wrestling, less talking, and we're starting to gear towards more talking, less wrestling, because we want to give Christian and Jericho and Moxley and FTR all this 15-20 minute promos on the microphone. But then you get an indie guy, a green guy, Adam Cole even gets, you know, 20 minutes if he wants it. But then you get Private Party, you get 2 minutes. They're champions and they get very little TV time. You get Jack Perry, probably one of the most hated people when he came back to the company, never put him on TV for more than 10 seconds at a time, unless he had a match. It's those types of things. I think the patriarchy has started to kind of run dry for a lot of people because Christian's just wanting to be everybody's dad. So that's why I think he stepped it up on Dynamite with the, well, this is why I attacked your dad. I hope, you know, I really wish he would have died because I could use somebody like you. Now we're trying to get heat on Christian again to get people to tune in to boo him. But again, it's Christian. It's ex-WWE. A company that was supposed to be opposite of WWE leans so much on these WWE guys that concerns me.
They've definitely changed their overall business model, and they only took a couple years. But also with WWE ID now, the independent talent might be harder to get. So, yeah. And I agree with Steven. I was going to say this too. Reason for the patriarchy setback is Killswitch Healthcare.
Yeah. And that was the pivot with Kip Sabian.
And they've had a lot of pivots due to injury and other
circumstances.
So we will, see.
I think Shep's gotten that point right several times. When you're wrestling once a week, you're not staying in his shape as much as if you're wrestling 5 or 6 days a week.
You're not getting burnt out, but at the same time, you might be more at risk of injury.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we talked about Malakai Black. And so on Dynamite, we saw he against Adam Cole. And I got to be honest, I was a little let down by the match. I expected it to be a lot better than it was.
Yeah.
That was just kind of clunky. And the finish was so odd.
It was weird.
Malakai sits down, turns, looks at Cole, and pretty much tells him to finish it. I'm thinking, okay, he's going to do something when Cole's coming at me. Nope. Takes the knee. This is after Adam Cole kicked out of the spinning kick. And then after the match, Cole's offering Malakai a handshake. He doesn't take the handshake. They embrace in a hug. He leaves the ring. Cole gets on the microphone, cuts a short little promo, pretty much thanking Malakai. The camera pans on Malakai. He leaves. I'm thinking, is he leaving the company? It was just so odd the way they did it. So internet's running wild with speculation. Fightful Select reported that there is a belief backstage in AEW that Black's deal is due to expire at the end of 2024 or early 2025. But it was noted back in 2022 that Tony Khan said that Black was under contract for almost 5 years, but it's been discovered that those included option years. And also since this came out, Malakai has come out and said, no, I'm not hurt. I'm not retiring. I'm not leaving. And we did see Malakai House of Black last night on Collision, and we're going to see him this upcoming Wednesday night, he and Brody Keene against FTR. So that definitely wasn't his last match in AEW, but man, what a weird finish and sequence.
Yeah. Well, the weird finish, yeah, that's fine, but you made a comment earlier that you thought the match was clunky.
I did.
Mm-hmm. When's the last time we saw Malakai Black wrestle?
I couldn't tell you the last singles match he's been in.
Yeah, singles match has been a while, but trios not that long.
A couple weeks?
Yeah, maybe 3 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go with that. Yeah, I know Adam Cole wrestled the week before, but again, when you do not have the repetition, stuff like that's going to happen, and I don't care how good you are, ring rust is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, Black can be obviously one of the top guys. We've enjoyed him when he was in Connecticut. We've enjoyed him when he's in, I'm going to call it Jacksonville, because
there you go.
Right? You got
Connecticut. It's the headquarters. That's the headquarters.
So we enjoyed him in Connecticut. We enjoy him in Jacksonville. But in Connecticut, the guy worked a regular schedule. Here, he's hit and miss. So, yeah, when you say it was clunky, you're right, Tanner. It's because the guy, you know, and Adam's coming back from injury. He had one match the week before. Mm-hmm. So you put two guys that haven't really worked a lot together, you know, you can't expect much. So,
yeah. One thing you can expect is to always be shocked by something Adam Cole does. For instance, putting a terrible spray tan on after you put your knee brace on.
That was hilarious.
Yep. And Stephen Chambers saying his rant for the night commentary is going way overboard about Cole's ankle.
Mm-hmm. Because they want you to think it's worse than it actually is, and they want every time he does something with it, they want you to be like, oh my God, is that it for him? Like Tanner was for Sting, for Danielson.
You know? Yeah. It makes me cringe. It made me cringe for the longest time because I'm like, just don't get hurt. Just don't get hurt.
Sting diving off of the stands through a table.
Sting went through more tables in AEW than he did in WCW.
Easily. Yeah. Easily.
Yeah.
I thought he broke his jaw. Remember the Jericho match when he jumped off the ladder and smacked his face on the announce table? It's like, what are you doing, dude? Oh, man. What a guy. What a legend. But
craziness.
So we'll see what happens with Malakai coming into this year, early next year. I don't know. They definitely haven't used him as strong as I think they could have so far. But
And his wife is working pretty regular for Connecticut as part of the LWO. So.
Yep.
Yeah. And again, I still think that's in an attempt to get Malakai to come back over to Connecticut.
Could be.
Because his first run in AEW, she almost got no TV time. And then right as he re-signed, they started pushing her. He re-signs, they cut back, and now we're halfway through his contract, and they start pushing her again. I think it's a, hey, come join your wife. Look how much we're doing for her.
Yeah, both sides are playing ball. I mean, you know, you got the Rey Fenix contract situation for AEW, so both sides are playing ball. One other thing I want to hit on, and it is part of Dynamite, but shout out to Shep for predicting Ricochet's partner.
Yeah.
He was the only one of us that said it could be Powerhouse. So has Powerhouse gotten bigger?
I think so.
My God.
He is a monster.
Oh, my God. He's huge.
Dude always looked big, but in that ring Wednesday night, he looked bigger than normal.
Yeah. Yeah, but looked good. I mean, maybe a little ring rust, but no, you're good. I know what you meant. But he was Ricochet's mystery partner. Mm-hmm. So, and then they got the win over over Fletcher and Takeshita. So, and then afterwards, you know, all hell breaks loose and we see Ospreay return. So,
yeah.
And Mark Davis was out there. So we're getting a little, got the Callis family against these four baby faces. Could be some interesting storylines coming out of that.
So let me ask you a question. Do we still think Yuta's the weak link in Death Riders?
I do.
Because in BCC, they treated Yuta like he was their lackey. And even in this promo he's cutting right now, Moxley treats him like a lackey, shoves him out of the way and jerked him back over to begin it. I feel like Yuta's going to be the one that turns on the Death Riders.
100%. 100%. The seeds are being planted every week.
Yeah, he's their if we're going AEW versus Death Riders, he's AEW's spy within the Death Riders.
See, I feel like they sacrifice him before he can turn on
them. Okay.
That's just me.
Fair. I mean, we got pretty close a couple weeks ago or last week even.
Dynamite kicked off this week with the Hurt Syndicate. And, you know, calling out Swerve. And so, long story short, we end up getting it officially. Bobby Lashley, Swerve Strickland at Full Gear. This didn't hit for me. I'm excited about the match, but something was flat with this. It didn't get a reaction from the crowd. It was just felt off. I don't know. Just felt off.
It was very poorly done, I think. And maybe this kind of goes to what can AEW do to get over again. Stop playing everybody's music.
Yeah.
Surprise run-ins aren't supposed to hit music first.
Right.
And they've gotten real good about that here lately.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's what it was, is you got the Hurt Syndicate sitting there talking crap. Swerve's music hits, so everybody responds to whose house, Swerve's house. They do all that, and then Swerve's out there. I think if he would have just come running out, you see all the refs pushing through him, or him pushing through these refs, and he just grabs a microphone, or Nana goes and grabs a microphone. Him having the microphone when he walked out, coming out to the music, it just felt very scripted. And I think that's kind of AEW is leaning more towards seeming very scripted compared to WWE right now.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, like, and it'll show my rating. This episode reminded me a lot of a Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Like a lot of, like you said earlier, Paul, there was like 20 minutes worth of talking before we got in ring action.
Which is odd on AEW.
Yeah,
it is. Yep. It is.
Usually you kick off the show. By the time you hear the intro music, there's somebody walking down to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the whole thing's
twerking. And you know what that means. Yeah. Somebody's already on their way to the ring.
Yeah,
but they kick things off pretty quick. And Swerve's like, Bobby Lashley, Full Gear. And MVP's like, we'll see you there. That was basically it. It's like, that was a pretty anticlimactic, but okay.
You could have gotten that with a 2-minute promo.
Yeah.
Not a 15-minute promo.
Yep. Too much talk, not enough action, like Steffi says on YouTube.
Yep.
The first match tonight was a trios match, or no, tag match, excuse me, Claudio and Pac of the Death Riders against Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin. Once again, I didn't really care for this match because I knew what was going to happen. I knew we were going to get chaos afterwards, and it was actually a no contest, and we got a bunch of chaos.
Yep.
Darby did a bunch of stupid shit. And
yep.
Jumps off the entrance, doesn't even get an entrance, just jumps off the tunnel.
Yep. And, you know, we see Marina Shafir get involved, which she should have known. Not everybody kicks out of at least one orange punch. It takes multiple orange punches to finish a match.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just kind of like the Death Riders. I'm going to be patient with it, but it's like, it's getting almost redundant for me. It's the same thing every week already, but I'm hoping it's got like, I don't know. They need to do some new stuff to get me invested. And I hope it's got a big payoff at the end.
And what worries me, and I keep referencing it being like this, is NWO kind of ran into the same thing where they came in, everybody was excited because, you know, it's this whole new thing. They're taking people out. And then it got to the point where it was an every week thing and people weren't liking it. And then Bischoff joined and it became NWO versus WCW.
Well, and at least they're not adding members. Like NWO was adding members every single week.
Well, yeah.
So,
and I hope they don't do the NWO-esque, but I could get behind a Death Riders versus AEW.
Oh, see, I'd be fine with that if it was just the group and maybe one more person who was like officially pulling Jon Moxley's strings.
Yes, yes, and that one person's going to be Shane McMahon.
You know, I'm losing faith in that.
I am too. But again,
I want to see it, Skip. Hey, I want to see it. I'm just losing faith.
You know where he debuts? Come on, guys. I said
Tokyo Dome.
There you go. There you go, Paul. That's right. He debuts at the Tokyo Dome.
You know what I am pissed about, though? We're going to get Omega's return match in there instead of on AEW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an AEW talent.
It's right there with WrestleMania.
I don't care. He's an AEW talent. Give me his return in AEW.
First. And you're going to get him against Gabe Kidd.
Well, I said that's on the Wrestle Dynasty show, which AEW's involved in. But he's going to probably wrestle the night before in Wrestle Kingdom too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I know he loves Japan, but.
I had something else, and then Chip went on to the Tokyo Dome, and I lost what it was.
I love Japan, too.
I don't know. I lost it.
You lost your train of thought? Okay.
Oh.
Hey, guys, you want to hear a dad joke?
What?
Why can't two Chinese people have a white baby?
Oh, you told us this one.
Two Wongs don't make a white.
Well, yeah, he did.
I did it off air, though.
Oh, my God.
And then we declared that it was on air appropriate. Now you get it here, folks.
There you go.
But the Shane McMahon thing's a perfect example. If you think back to when I talk about the leaks within AEW, when Sting was coming, it was rumored, but nothing was ever like, here's the Bucks with Sting. Here's Tony Khan with Sting.
I don't even remember it being rumored.
I mean, no, you're probably right. I don't think it was. I think it was Danielson that was rumored. And then Sting, yeah, there was no – Sting just showed up. Fyter Fest or Winter is Coming. Winter is Coming.
Yep.
His music hit, and it was different, so nobody even realized it. You see Snow, nobody's realizing it. The Crow – not really ringing too many bells, and then it said Sting, and then everybody went crazy.
I remember texting you that night, Paul. Holy shit! Because I remember getting off my couch. You know, it was the Daily's Place, 2020 pandemic. We're all watching just at home, chilling, and I was shocked. And maybe that's another reason why that stuff wasn't leaking out there. The timing of 2020, and you know, AEW's 5 years old now, and it's tougher to keep things under wrap now. Than it was 5 years ago.
Maybe, but
I don't know. There's Yeah, you're right. It's very hard to keep a secret in pro wrestling, whether it's AEW or the WWE anymore. It's hard.
Well, I also feel like WWE purposely does some of their leaks just to get people to tune in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, did you guys see the new guy that just hit the scene this weekend? His name was
Cocaine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The worst gimmick I've ever seen. What an idiot.
So we've got Blue Cane. Yes. We've got Cocaine. Yes. And we've got Candy Cane.
How is this the worst gimmick?
It is the dumbest thing. It is one of the dumbest
gimmicks. It's hilarious.
It is awesome.
It's hilarious. I've seen highlights from matches, and the dude is just, I mean, hilarious.
Tanner, you were a Hulkamania fan at one point, right?
Well, I remember more. No, NWO.
You grew up and when Hulk was
no
up, when you Hulk no. up, right?
Hulk hulked up in our day and age. For Tanner, he was NWO coming out strumming his freaking
I
got the WWE later on Hulk. But not the prime Hulk.
The way this guy hulks up, he
takes an eight ball.
He puts a little booger sugar up in there, and he just power slams the guy. It's awesome. Ridiculous.
I think it's trash. I think it's trash.
Awesome.
It's not for me, but for you. So
to me, here's why I'm okay with these variants of Kane that have come out here in the last couple of years. From Blue Cane to Candy Cane, now Cocaine, and I think there's at least one more that I'm forgetting about. But these characters are so over the top. It takes me back to what I enjoyed about wrestling as a kid. There's no way that actually is happening in front of you. Seeing it, and it's just like, holy crap.
And I guess you guys grew up with the new generation era. I grew up with the Attitude Era. So I don't even remember the new generation era. Like, I don't remember those cartoonish characters.
See, you got used to the sucking.
Yeah. So.
You young pup.
We got Garbage Men, okay?
Garbage Man and Doink the Clown.
And Repo Guys and
Roadkill. Yank'em DDS. Remember Yank'em DDS?
Yes.
Yeah. And
that's why I don't like to go into the dentist, by the way.
What was the other one?
I was very young the first time I saw Dr. Yank'em.
Crush. Remember Crush with the glasses?
Crush. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Earthquake. Typhoon.
Tugboat.
Nah.
Yeah, tugboat in a silver stormtrooper mask.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Shockmaster.
Oh fuck, yeah. Shockmaster. Yeah.
That's the type of stuff we got.
Yeah.
So you're used to more of.
You just shut up, Tanner.
Steffi was saying she was telling her teacher to suck it on a daily basis. How many detentions did that get you?
You know, and I think, Chef, I think you and I talked about this on this podcast one time. Referencing Suck It. Billy Gunn and two different generations of wrestling fans has sayings you can't say in school. Suck it, you'd get in trouble for when we were kids. And now daddy. It's scissor me daddy ass.
What a legend.
Yeah.
I mean, only that guy can pull that out.
He's a legend.
I thought the finish the Fight Without Honor match was horrendous. I thought it had some fun spots in it, but that
had some fun spots. But yeah,
that finish was terrible.
I thought it sucked. The whole match sucked.
There's no Majin tonight, so we've been very outspoken about Chris Jericho. I would like to see some individual singles gold on Big Bill in the near future. I'd be all right with that, but. Ishii doesn't do anything for me. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. The guy doesn't do nothing for me.
I feel like he's broke his neck 7 times. Oh, wait. He doesn't have a fucking neck.
No, he does not. He does not. I don't know.
They refer to him as the pit bull, and I look at this guy, and I go, I see nothing pit bullish about him.
Well, yeah, because pit bulls don't have a neck, Paul.
I've got 3, and they all have necks. So what now?
I don't know. I got nothing.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
He's
more. Yeah.
And he paid to pin Jericho. He pins the ROH champ. I had a problem with that too. Even the Majin Kong on Twitter said, well, Briscoe took falls all the time at the ROH champ. No, I get that, but like, just why I don't need to see the ROH championship on AEW.
Put it on. There was that weird finish with Cole where he knees him and then basically hugs him to take him down to the mat for the pin.
I'm not apologizing to Jericho, Stephanie. Nope.
No, that was a god-awful showing from a lot of people.
The Nueve.
Duh.
He's fucking 55 years old, guys. What do you expect?
Careful. You'll be slandered for age-shaming him.
Okay. Then...
Yeah, he just had a birthday yesterday, I believe.
Jericho did? So he's 56?
I think so. Let me check.
I think he's 55 or 56. But yeah, he posted, I think on X or somewhere, a photo of him.
He is 55
shirtless.
Now. 55 now.
Saying, yeah, so it would have been saying,
you can 55. Drive 55.
Let Sammy sing that song, please.
Sammy and I are buddies.
Oh, yeah? You're friends with Sammy Hagar?
Hell yeah.
We'd rather be friends with him than Jake.
We drink a lot of... Where the hell is Jake Hagar nowadays?
Nowhere.
He's not an AW, and he's making enemies all over Twitter the other night during the election.
Is he?
Being a dumbass.
And I guess he was scheduled for some indie show, and they pulled
his ass after that because he's an idiot. He was obviously drunk or high or something the other night. Idiot.
Yeah.
Like, and it's fine to be like, if you want to be political, like, and that's fine. But some of the stuff I'm like trying to bash TK and stuff, idiot. And he had no receipts, no evidence, idiot.
Actually, the guy that said it the best was Dana White. I'm not left. I'm not right. I'm right down the middle. I get a vote for common sense. And if you're a douchebag, I'm not voting for you.
So I wouldn't be voting for Jake Hager. So
yeah.
No.
No.
So
no.
I don't think anybody's voting for Hager anytime soon.
Hager needs to take a little side note from Dana White.
Oh yep. Wait, I mean, I think
he's not good enough to get in his company.
Yeah, he never fought for Dana White, so there you go.
Yeah.
I think Tuesday night they were pulling him.
Yeah, he's a moron. He was just a moron the other night. I saw it on X. I'm like, what is this idiot doing? Mm-hmm. Twitter X. You see, I can't say what I want to call it. So
Twitter.
One thing we have not covered yet about the Adam Cole stuff. We saw MJF via satellite, retape, whatever you want to call it. And at the end, he gets on the phone. Needs to make a phone call. We figure out later tonight, he calls his buddy whenever he needs something, Don Callis. And next week, we're getting Adam Cole versus Takeshita. So I will say, I can't complain about the three opponents Cole's had to go through. Buddy Matthews, Malakai Black, Kenoshi and Takeshita. I mean, that's three pretty strong guys he's had to go through. But
here's one thing that I have a problem with when it comes to MJF. It's always threes. You always have to have three people. Cody had to do three tests.
Yep.
Everybody has always had three tests. Now, to me personally, I would have kept it all House of Black. I think that would have been great.
Yeah.
You know, all three of those guys individually, you know, that's why I thought Cole picked up the microphone is because he was going to say something about Malakai. Lights are going to come out, come back on. Brody standing there, and there's your final opponent.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess the reason they didn't is we're getting House of Black versus FTR Wednesday night, which, oh man, I hope that match delivers like I think it's going to.
It should.
But I guess like I'm not happy about this build of Cole and MJF anyways, but I still wish it was just Cole and MJF. I don't like how Roderick Strong's all of a sudden thrown in the mix. It's lazy booking, as Shep likes to say, for triple threats.
Mm-hmm. This one is because it didn't make sense.
No.
Here's the only thing And I know you and I are going head to head for the title.
I'm right there with what you're going to say here, though. I think I know what you're going to say, and I think I'm going to agree. So,
MJF and Roderick are on the same side, and they're going to take out Cole.
Yep. Yep. I feel like
that's the only way it makes sense.
Yep. I'm with you there.
Because, yeah, Adam's back.
I still think he's dumb, though. I still think he's dumb.
Oh, it yeah. is. I mean, Adam's wearing the Undisputed gear. I haven't watched Roderick. I don't think he is.
Well, he's still coming out to the music and everything, and Taven and Bennett are acting more like baby's faces now, so.
But Roderick's not.
Because I actually watched Rampage this week, guys.
What?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Like, while it was on. No.
What?
No, I just had nothing to do. Because they won. They won their tag match over Reynolds and Silver.
Of course they did.
Those guys would nothing.
God forbid we put Dark Order in anything.
Even though they want to come after Death Riders to be the trio's chance, I'm thinking, oh my God, if they do, Shep's going to hit on that too. That was Shep's pick to be trio's champs at the end of the year, was Dark Order.
And it sucks. What a shitty pick I had.
It might be right, though. That's the thing. That's the amazing thing. It might end up being right.
You know what? It turned out to be a really shitty idea.
Yeah.
But
that's I backed you on it, though, Shep.
You did. You did. You've been a day one Dark Order guy there, Paul.
I have. I joined Dark Order before Brody joined Dark Order.
Well, you liked it when they're throwing those awful fake punches to Dustin. So you're like, I like
these. That was the only time I didn't like it.
Oh, that was awful.
All right.
Oh, that was terrible. Maybe one of my favorite things on this show was Jay White and Hangman going at it. Because mm-hmm. even though Jay White, Juice, the Bang Bang Gang, they're supposed to be baby faces, they're still jumping people. They don't care. So they jump.
I love how your favorite segment of the night's on right now.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. Like everything I'm talking about, I'm just going down my run sheet here, is right behind you. So, but Juice, man, comes running out with the chair. Love Juice. Love Juice. Mm-hmm.
Juice is hilarious.
He is. He's great.
I wasn't too sure about him when he first came on because I was like, man, this guy is such a comic character.
They didn't know how to use him.
No, but they finally found the perfect way to use him, and he is just... Oh, Shep's gone.
Guess maybe he's having connection problems or something?
I don't know. It looked like he was still there. But
he's got to go help with a sick kid.
Oh. Yep. So Shep will join us again soon here in a little bit, maybe.
You can respond to him, Paul, if you want.
Oh.
I'll keep going down the run list.
Okay, you do that.
Yeah, so I feel bad if neither one of us responds to him. So we kind of already mentioned the face-to-face Christian and Hook stuff with Nick Wayne and Mama Wayne, Sabian. Pretty much Christian said he attacked Taz. He's looking out for Hook. Hook's a wild card. Cage said he needs a son like Hook. And did you see, Paul? I did like this to me. You see the look on Nick Wayne's face?
Yes, I did. All this.
They're setting up seeds for Nick Wayne to eventually turn face.
Mm-hmm.
I did like that.
They were definitely planting those because every time he'd say something, Nick would just kind of glare over at him. And it was always just quick and short.
Yep.
It wasn't like a just dead stare at him. It was just kind of this, really? Whatever type of thing. So I like the way that was done.
Yep. Jamie Hayter, Penelope Ford. I enjoyed this. I thought Jamie Hayter looked really good. But we're back to only one women's match again, it seems like.
I know.
And they're not even giving them a lot of time.
And it was at 9:30.
Yeah. We were making steps forward, making progress. Now we're going backwards again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is ridiculous. I don't know why. Oh, hey, look, it's Majin.
Majin said Christian said he wishes Taz was dead. He has no problem going there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, not at all. Not at all.
He did not hesitate in the slightest.
Nope. In our main event, this was my favorite thing. Sure, I enjoyed the main event. I know a lot of people had problems with either what happened during the match or what happened after, but I thought it was my favorite thing. It was my favorite thing on show, at least. Because I wasn't even, for some stupid reason, I wasn't even thinking Hobbs.
Neither was I. Neither was I.
And I thought it delivered. Hobbs, Ricochet, Fletcher, Takeshita had a fun match. In the end, we see Ricochet hit the spirit gun for the pinfall on Takeshita. So, which at first I'm like, God, I hate Takeshita taking a pin. But then I'm like, oh, duh, Tanner, they're going to have a singles match at Full Gear for that title. So that makes sense.
Yep. Yep.
So after the match, we see Fletcher attack both men with steel chair. Mark Davis comes down. He wants an answer. He and Fletcher shove each other. Lance Archer runs in and attacks Davis. Brian Cage does the same. Adam Cole runs in to help even out the odds.
Real quick. This was a great setup for this match.
Yes. Yes.
In my opinion.
And for everybody listening, what
Camille just ran over Statlander, or so we thought.
And then Statlander is attacking Mercedes. And then Mercedes is mad at Camille. She's been mad at Camille for weeks now. So
yeah, and the loss really didn't help her none. And then it looks like she goes to hit Stat with the door, and Stat reverses it. What I think is going to happen, and again, it's short term with these two being Camille and Mercedes, but I think we're going to see the turn happen at Full Gear. I don't want to give you all of my cards.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in a sense, I kind of am, because I'm obviously going to go for Statlander on this one. But I'm not going to tell you my confidence points on that. But I think Mia will be involved in that finish to help Stat win.
By the time Full Gear runs around, Mercedes is going to have held the TBS championship for the second longest besides Jay Cardgo, because she's about to pass Statlander for second longest.
Yeah. And Statlander never technically lost the title.
Correct. Correct. After, and then the last thing after the main event, Ospreay made an entrance, and he's that dude. He's that dude for this company. The pop the dude got, he's their most popular guy, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some of the biggest pops for the entire show were around that main event between Powerhouse and Ospreay.
Yep. Steven Chambers on YouTube, what are the chances of this turning into a blood and guts match? Ospreay, Ricochet, Hobbs, and Davis versus Fletcher, Takeshita, Cage, and Archer. I thought the same, but I'm like, we are only in November, and blood and guts is a ways away. Unless they move it up for some reason.
Yeah. I hope they don't move it up, but it would be nice to get a long build and a storyline.
And you know Fletcher's going to be in a big spot on February 15th when Grand Slam is in Australia.
Yep.
Yeah, and Mark Davis probably too. So,
absolutely.
Majin on YouTube, I loved how they did the Powerhouse reveal, Takeshita and Fletcher being so cocky, and as soon as his music hit, Fletcher at least had the oh shit look on his face. Oh, yeah. And I'm so stupid. Like, even when Ricochet's like, this guy was part of the Don Callis family, his contract ran up, blah, blah, blah. I still couldn't put it together in my head. I don't know why. I'm going through the Callis family. I'm like, who? And I completely forgot about Powerhouse, even though Shep was even talking about it last week.
Well, and see, that's the problem. And I think commentary did a real good job of bringing this home for us, because you did forget Hobbs was part of the Don Callis family.
Yep.
See, he said his contract just came up. I went, okay, it's Ospreay. I never made the leap. No, I agree. But I never made that leap to Powerhouse Hobbs.
Nope.
I'm thinking, anybody. You know, he just traded somebody for Archer.
Well, he got Beast Mortos and Callisto.
Yeah, Archer,
pretty much. And Rouge. You got all three of those guys. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been anybody, in my opinion, that has been associated with the Don Callis family. Even Kenny Omega at one point was part of the Don Callis family.
It's true.
So, sure. I mean, it could have been Kenny, but I never went to Hobbs, and that makes me sad.
But made for a nice surprise. So
it did.
Stephen Chambers said he thinks the Camille Mercedes breakup is coming at World's End. I could see that.
I could see that.
Collision. Did you watch any Collision last night,
Paul? I did not.
I watched a little bit.
I looked a little bit of it up. I saw that the Outrunners are moving on to the Fatal 4-Way.
Which I was hoping so, because I'm like, they deserve to finally be on the main card. They haven't been on a main card of a pay-per-view yet. We've seen them on Zero Hour before. But they beat Top Flight, and I thought Top Flight looked good in this match, too. The Martin brothers. So, yeah, that was a fun match. That's the Outrunners, I know they're over the top, but they're fun to me. They're just fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're entertaining. So they got the win. I like this tournament, though, they're doing. Because we got the Outrunners, you know, and, of course, Private Party. We're going to get the winner of House of Black, Malakai and Brody versus FTR. So we're going to get that winner. And then you got LFI versus the Acclaimed. Was the other match on Collision next week. So, yeah, that's
And I saw apparently Jack Perry went back and forth a little bit with the real-life Peter Griffin.
He did, in the stands, yes, and the crowd was popping for it. Yep.
And that somebody said he was his next opponent or that they would go one-on-one at Dynamite. And I'm like, man, even if he just came out, it would be – that's the type of thing you need right now for AEW. Have the real-life Peter Griffin come out there, you know, say something, Perry hits him or something, and he instantly drops and does the whole knee thing that's so famous from Family Guy.
Yep. A few comments here I want to catch up on. Imogen says, since Ricochet still technically has the card from MVP, do you guys think Powerhouse will eventually use it to join the Hurt Syndicate? I don't know. They're teasing last night on Collision, Leo Rush. That's what's setting up Leo versus Swerve on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think they need one more guy.
They do.
They need somebody like Cedric Alexander was.
Yes.
In WWE. And I don't know.
Yes. Because you can't. MVP's not going to be doing a whole lot of wrestling, if any.
I had somebody in my mind the other day. Now I can't think of who.
And with more and more of a push towards the trios versus the tag scene within AEW, I think you need somebody else to join the Hurt Syndicate that can compete at the level with Lashley and Benjamin.
Yeah. And Stephen Chambers, Anna Jay did the Cody, challenging Mariah. If Anna loses, she will never, ever have another title shot.
Yeah. Yep,
I think that that shows which way that's going to go, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Full Gear might be pretty predictable, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not commenting on that because I hate that stipulation.
I know you do. Cody hates that he did it too. He's been on the record.
Bit me in the ass because I picked Cody at that match.
We weren't even a podcast yet.
No, but I still picked him for that match.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did. So
I was like, okay, here's where Cody becomes champion.
Yep.
You're not going to put this stipulation out there without it.
Imagine Cage and Archer should have been in this tournament. They've been winning a lot lately. I get they aren't the most over, but they should have been there. Oh, I think they're going to get a shot eventually, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and Paul and I are going to agree on this, so I'm not spoiling anything. Private Party's not dropping these titles a full game.
No.
So I could see Archer and Cage being the ones to eventually take it off. That wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, and see, there's the great thing. You've got Don Callis.
That's a good one, Cage and Archer. That was a good one. That was a good one, Majin. That was a good one. That was when I did respect Chris Jericho.
Look, I'm a Cody mark, all right? I'll admit it. I pick Cody to win almost every match. No, I'm not that big of a mark. But I wanted the world title on Cody at that point.
Stephen Chambers, one word, Mina.
Yeah. Yeah.
Miss Shirakawa.
But, yeah, where I was going, Cage and Archer are backed by Don Callis. Right. So Don Callis is going to come on and he's going to be saying, you know, I don't know what Tony Khan has against the Don Callis family not to put Cage and Archer in this tournament for a shot at the AEW tag team titles. So I want Cage and Archer to show to everybody that they can do this and they deserve it. They'll start laying waste to a bunch of people, and then first part of next year, they'll win the titles off of them.
Mm. Yep, Stephen Chambers, I did see that. Grizzled Young Veterans became the New Japan Strong Tag Champs.
Yeah.
Good for them. Majin asked a good question. What's Mina's contract situation like? I definitely want her in AEW full-time. I do not know.
I don't either.
That's a good question.
I don't always know much. Majin, you'd be surprised. I actually did some research and some studying for today.
Scary. I know. I was scared when he told me. Mercedes did get revenge on Statlander after her match. She had a match on Saturday last night with Ashley Vox. She locked in statement maker, making Statlander tap out, but Mercedes wouldn't let go, and then she raised her TBS title as a music hit. So
mm-hmm.
Nothing crazy. I did see last night that Hurt Syndicate were trying to get with the Acclaimed, and Bowens pretty much told him to buzz off just because Billy's here, and he left first, and then Max tried to leave, and MVP put his hand on his shoulder and said, "You still got my card," and Max told him to pretty much leave. But, you know, that's who I was thinking. At first, I was thinking Caster because he's already kind of more heelish in a way. Mm-hmm. But I really think Bowens would be the perfect fit for Hurt Syndicate.
He would.
Heel Anthony Bowens.
Yes.
There's your fourth member.
Yeah. Yeah. He would fit well. And I'd like to see him be more serious. Yes, this is Bizarro World.
Hey, Logan, what's going on?
Hey, Logan, what's up?
Jack Perry beat Action Andretti, and then that's when we got it official that we're going to get Jack Perry against Daniel Garcia
mm-hmm.
at Full Gear, which will be a fun one. That could be the match that steals the pay-per-view.
It could.
Wouldn't shock me at all. Nick Wayne, AR Fox. Nick Wayne showed an aggressive side. He won the match, and he stapled AR a picture of AR Fox's father and stapled it to AR's head.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was, they went there.
Yeah, of course they did.
Logan asking where Shep is. He had to run out. He's one of his kids is sick, so not sure if he's going to be back or not.
Yeah. So
the main event was the trio's titles, Death Riders versus the Conglomeration. It's kind of like the same stuff we've been seeing week in, week out with these guys. I mean, the Death Riders, and this match was long, by the way. Death Riders get the win. After the match, Cassidy comes down. He hits Orange Punch on Yuta, dives through the ring onto Claudio, just triggers a massive chaotic brawl. Cassidy stands on the announce table watching the fight, continues to stare down Moxley, then leaps off the announce table onto his opponents. Death Riders retreat, and Conglomeration holds the ring as the collision came to a close.
Yeah.
I did not catch that, Stephen. Thank you. Nick said before it's Fox's anniversary of his dad's death. Jeez.
Mm.
Go in there.
Leave it to them. Leave it to them.
I was kind of in and out on Collision last night, so that makes sense. Gotcha. So yeah, that was Dynamite and Collision this week. Like I said, I watched Rampage, but there was nothing that great to report on. I will not be sad when that show goes away.
No. So do we want to talk about what's coming up this Wednesday on Dynamite?
Go for it.
Let's see. We've got Jon Moxley seizing TBS. And again, this is why I think it would be perfect to have the real-life Peter Griffin do something with Jack Perry, because Family Guy's always on TBS. It fits. It is. We've got Mina.
Picture with MJF. He took a picture with MJF at an autograph signing.
Yeah, MJF and his buddy Bully.
Yep.
We got Cole versus Konosuke. Jay White, Juice Robinson.
Jay White and Juice Robinson versus Hangman and Christian Cage.
I like that. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
I do. Britt Baker returns, taking on Penelope Ford. Lio Rush, as you mentioned earlier, will be taking on Swerve Strickland. We've got that Falls Count. One. Falls Count Anywhere match for Roderick and Lance Archer. That's interesting.
Yeah, which it pisses me off, though. Wembley's not gonna.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're doing it to him again.
Here we go again.
We've got House of Black and FTR.
Gosh, I hope that match delivers.
Ospreay will be there, and so will Lashley.
Yeah, it's a loaded card. It's a loaded card. And
it is.
I think it needs strong because I was pretty underwhelmed by this week's Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it reminded me of a Monday Night Raw.
It did. But yeah, I mean, we know that Archer's going to lose this match. And I feel bad for him because they just brought him back in the spotlight.
If they do it correctly, he'll dominate Roderick and then interference will help Roderick win.
Yes. Absolutely. That's what they have to do because there's no way Roderick goes out there and just dominates him.
I agree, Steffi. I thought this week's Dynamite was a little boring. I hate to say it, but I didn't think it was a little boring.
Yeah. Penelope showed her ring rust, which, you know, it's her first match back. That was expected, but it definitely was visible. There were some spots in there that I went, how did that even make it into the camera angle?
Logan, the legend with a good question. What is your guys' dream match in AEW?
Ooh. Man, that is tough. That is tough. While I think on that, you know what I'd like to see them do after this Cole MJF thing finished? I know they're still friends, but I'd like to see Cole turn heel and blame Tony for the breakup between him and Britt. Because we saw kind of that heelish Cole towards Tony Schiavone.
I want to leave him in the babyface for a while, though.
Well, I do too. But at some point, you know, I mean, it's public record now. Nobody thought
I know
it was going to happen, or
I know
nobody, however you want to word it. But yeah,
I'm trying to think. This is a good question, Logan, because
this is tough. I'm going to make it a tag match.
Okay.
And it's not just two on two. It's going to be two on two on two on two. So we'll do a fatal four-way tag match. Hear me out. Ospreay and Ricochet on a team. Logan has done that on the 2K23 game that we play, and we have dubbed them the Aerial Assassins.
Nice.
Versus Private Party.
I like it so far. A lot of flippity flop. I can get on board with this.
We get, we'll stay in the flippy floppy realm for you. Top Flight. And the Bucks.
I like that match. I like that match.
For gold.
I think we're eventually going to see it. And I want to see it for the promos more than anything. Swerve versus MJF.
Yes. The promos on that would just be phenomenal.
And there's still a lot of matchups you can put Kenny Omega in too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been shorted by a lot of Kenny matches because of his diverticulitis and his injuries before that. I mean, I know it's a weird match, but he against Adam Copeland would be fun. That'd be a match. That's a match nobody thought they'd ever see.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Stephen Chambers said Ricochet versus Hologram. He said Jay White versus Omega.
Mm-hmm.
We got a few other things I want to catch up on here. Maja, so I'll ask this. Tanner and Paul, you are team captains going to Blood and Guts. Who do you choose to fill out your team?
I'll respond with this, Majin. Are we going against each other?
It looks like we're both the team captains, so we're probably going against each other.
Okay, so Team Tanner versus Team Paul.
Steffi, what you got? What's your dream match? And then PN Shadow on YouTube says, Powerhouse Hobbs is too good of a talent to be wasted in AEW. We've never seen him in any other company, and I think he's doing just fine. I think AEW is where he wants to be.
Yeah.
I think they've used him pretty
Seems
good.
That way.
He's just been on the show for about a year.
Yeah, minus some injuries, but that's expected. So, how we want to do this? We want to do this snake style? You pick one, I pick one.
Sure.
All right. Well, you're the champion, so I'll let you go first.
All right. Man. You know, he's been in Blood and Guts last year, but he's one of the top talents in the company. I'm going Swerve.
All right. Kenny Omega.
That's a guy. He was right on my radar. Steffi said, I know it's happened before, but Okada Omega. Steffi, I think you'll be getting that match soon. So once Kenny returns. Okay, so Will Ospreay.
Ricochet.
Okay. Who else? You know, I'll take MJF.
All right. Man. Oh, there are so many talented people in that locker room.
See, now I feel like you need somebody on the mic to counter MJF.
Yeah, because you've got both Swerve and MJF. You've got two of the best talkers.
Yeah.
And the only other really former on the mic that comes to mind is Adam Cole, so I'll go him.
Okay. I'm going to go with the unique one now. I want, you know, I got the athleticism in Swerve and Ospreay. I got the mic skills and very underrated in the ring MJF. So now I want somebody more ground technique. I want Hook.
I really should have gone first. MJF was going to be my surprise fifth pick, and Hook was going to be my next pick.
Well, I'm getting some newbies to Blood and Guts and some guys who have been in it. So,
I know nobody else would go with this guy, but I'm going to go with him because I think he's talented. Just we haven't seen it in AEW yet. Kip Sabian.
Oh, God. Oh, I win. This match is over.
It's not.
I win. And you know, I want to go with a killer in my last one. And there's a lot of guys you can put in this. But I'm trying to punish your team.
You can't go with Archer because he'll lose.
Oh, I'm not going with Archer. I thought about it. I'm going with Samoa Joe.
Oh, all right. Man. Wow, who could I get that's in AEW right now that's on the level of Joe?
I got one in mind. I don't know if he's on the level of Joe, but I got one. I'm not a Kip Sabian guy. Crap on me all you want. I don't see it. So
he's not.
But hey, he's for you guys. That's all good. JF versus Copeland, that'd be a fun one. Jericho versus Big Bill. Loser says bye, guys.
All right.
Hogan's got a good one.
All right. Kanosuke Takeshita.
Sis from your son there. There you go.
Yeah. I got to join him with that one.
I was thinking Keshka's a monster. Wardlow, even though we never see him, he's a beast.
Yeah. He's somebody that I thought. Before I thought of Hobbs, that's what really is bad.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, I was like, oh, here's Wardlow. No.
Maybe he gets involved with Cole MJF and assuming Roderick. Maybe he comes back there. I don't know. I did see he's going to show up at some independent in April. So that's the only thing I've seen about Wardlow lately. So
yeah.
But Paul, do you have anything else you want to hit on?
I don't.
I don't think I do either, but I appreciate all the comments and engagement tonight. We really appreciate it every week, everybody. We don't take this for granted. We are an AEW podcast by AEW fans for AEW fans. So we really appreciate it. We appreciate all the support in 2024. And we're going to try to finish this year out strong and get hotter than ever in 2025. So
yes. Right there with AEW getting hotter than ever in 2025.
I hope so.
You and me both.
Majin, we hit the WWE ID stuff early on. It was then like our first half hour of the show. So,
yeah, don't worry. We made it 6 minutes in before Shep dropped the first F-bomb.
Yeah. A lot of rabbit holes early on.
Mm-hmm. Hey, there's a bloody guy behind you.
Yeah, it was Punk. Imagine that. Punk blood.
Yeah. Punk blood in AEW just like a Rhodes brother does.
Punk and Kingston right here, Full Gear 2021. That was fun. That was a quick feud. A good match. That was a fun feud, though. That was a quick build, but that was fun. So
that is one of those quick ones that didn't need any longer than it actually got.
Yep. So, Shep apologizes to everybody that he couldn't be back, but no problem at all.
No problem, Shep. Family is always more important. That is one thing we always talk about on here. We don't expect our listeners to be here every single week. We appreciate that you take the hour and a half to hang out with us. Yeah, you know, we're never going to take it for granted.
Nope. We have fun. So,
yep. And we love the comments. Keep them coming. Don't forget, you can always submit a non-wrestling question as long as we can keep it PG, Majin, to us on social media at Kicking Out Pod. We'd love to start a new segment where we answer one non-wrestling question every week, as long as it's not something that's going to drag out for like 45 minutes.
I do have to go back to Majin's question, though. I absolutely missed one I wanted to include last week, so I'm going to include her right now. I botch her last name all the time, but it's Kaylee Cuoco, I believe is how you pronounce her last
name. Oh, yeah, Penny. Penny from the Big Bang Theory.
100%. Don't know why she didn't go to my mind last week. That was
because it was on the spot. Trust me, I got off of here and there was like, oh, I didn't think about her. I didn't think about her.
So now that question's in the past. I just had to get that off my chest.
Hey, you know, at least nobody threw out, you know, like Reba McEntire or anything. I was just watching Happy's Place earlier today.
To each their own. So
yeah. Anyway, but yeah, you know, interact with us. Leave us your questions. You know, if you can't make it as we're doing our live stuff, leave us a question on social media. It's at Kicking Out Pod. We'll talk about it. We'll discuss it. It'll probably even end up on the screen somewhere, somehow. Tanner knows how to do all that stuff. So,
yeah. Yep. So, no, but we appreciate it. We know we're one of the few AEW-centric podcasts out there left. There was quite a few when we started in 2021, and they're kind of dwindling away, but we don't have any plans of going anywhere anytime soon. So
the only reason we'd stop this is if AEW stopped for some godforsaken reason.
Yeah, which we know they're good for at least another 4 years. So
you got another 4 years of the Kicking Out podcast. That almost sounded like ride. You were scared.
Well, look how much the show has changed and evolved in since 2021. So you never know what's on the horizon.
I think that's what we need to do for the whole month of December, apart from pay-per-view time. Reflect on the year past.
Yeah, that's good. That's actually a good idea, Paul, because I was trying to think how we're going to do that last show this year, because we usually do years past, but that's got to be this year. It would be years past, World's End predictions, and title predictions all in one. So yeah. I think and there's no way we can do that all in one show. So I think that's a good way to split up the month. So there we go.
I think the month of December is just spent looking back and making our predictions for 25, and then World's End.
There we go.
All right. So there, you heard it here first. That's what you get when you stick around as we ramble at the tail end of this thing.
Yeah, the after hours of the show.
Yeah. Ooh, there we go. KOP after hours. We're Shep's drunk.
Oh, boy.
And that's something we got to do in 2025 again is a
watch along. We got to do a watch along. I'd love to do it during an AEW pay-per-view, but it just never works with our schedules. So
no, because it's always weird days and times.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
maybe we'll can get something figured out, like All In or something.
Yeah, we'll have to do something. That was fun.
Yes, it was. And we'll do the whole pay-per-view instead of just the main event.
Yeah.
All right. Well, be sure to follow the Kicking Out Podcast on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. Be sure to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast wherever it is you listen to your podcast. And if that's Apple Podcasts, leave us that a 5-star review because we are 5-star KOP. Be sure to check out kickingoutshop.com. It is your place to go for a bunch of great merchandise, support a great podcast, and look fantastic.
And we also have a pro wrestling tee shop. I want to throw that out there, too.
Because yes, we do.
Good shirts on there that you can't get on kickingoutshop.com. So.
Yes, some of the original designs, the limited edition stuff is over on our pro wrestling
tees. There's one for Christmas, so Christmas is coming up. So
Yeah. So buy a Kicking Out Podcast Christmas shirt now.
Right now.
Yeah, now I lost my train of thought and where I was. Oh, yeah. Be sure to follow all of us on social media. Austin Shepherd, who had to leave early, at TheShep27, Tanner Lee, at TannerLee92, and follow myself, at PaulZartman87. And with that, for Austin Shepherd and Tanner Lee, I'm Paul Zartman. Join us again next week as we kick out yet another podcast.